The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to this online worship service at St. Stephen's United Church. We are so glad that you're able to join us today. As we light the Christ candle, we are reminded that today is the day in the church calendar that we recognize and celebrate the reign of Jesus Christ, the King above all kings, the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end, the Son of God Most High, our Saviour and our Redeemer. Would you please join with me in the call to worship? We come, for God gathers us here with that community called faith, where the hungry are served first, where the thirsty drink life's water. We come, for God welcomes us here into that home called grace, where the naked are clothed in robes of hope, where the stranger is embraced as the long-lost prodigal. We come, for God reunites us here, sisters and brothers, in that family called love, where the imprisoned model justice, where the sick are cradled in God's peace. Friends, let us worship.
Good morning. Please pray the prayer of confession with me. We confess that in our lives we often hide behind our work and our play, schools and jobs, fun and fashion. We let ourselves get so busy that we forget the cause of the poor and the suffering. We confess that we allow the powers of this world to seduce us into selfishness and silence our witness. Teach us to champion the cause of justice for all. Strengthen us to love our neighbor and speak truth no matter the cost. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, the Word of God assures us that because of what Jesus has done for us, we are able to love through the Spirit of Christ. So let us go from this place with that authority, knowing that God's Word gives us strength to love our neighbors near and far, and power to speak up for those who are vulnerable and broken. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Our scripture reading for today is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25 again this week. This time we are looking at verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of these least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into eternal fire and prepared the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the word of God. Well, friends, today is a day when we are drawing some things to a close. It is the final Sunday of the church year. Next week, we will begin a new year as we begin Advent. Today is also the day that we are bringing to a close what you may be beginning to think is the longest sermon series in history. Since July, we have been focusing on a central aspect of God's plan in and for this world, to have a people through whom the world can discover the life that God has for us all. During the summer, we spent time looking at some Old Testament texts that describe how God created a distinctive people, the people of Israel. We explored how God had promised to bless them, and then in turn called them to be a blessing to the whole earth. In September, we turned to explore how now we, as Jesus' followers, have been included in that blessed and blessing people. And so today, we bring all of this to a conclusion, and actually fittingly so with this parable, the parable of the sheep and the goats. On this final Sunday of the church year, we also celebrate our belief, as Jesus' followers, that he reigns in our lives, and that he is in the process of bringing God's reign to this world. We heard that as a clear affirmation from the first verse of our reading. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Now, just as he did in the previous two parables, Jesus is pointing us towards the future, when he returns and with him comes God's kingdom in all of its fullness. He has us thinking about ourselves and our lives from the light of that promised time. This parable describes a sorting, like a shepherd sorting sheep from goats. He says, the sheep will be the people who have shown compassion and mercy to people Jesus refers to as the least of these, those who find themselves without food or water, strangers, those who are sick or in prison. He says the goats are the people who neglect to care for those same people. So the whole parable closes with this rather ominous sounding ending, yet another one, where Jesus seems to indicate that there are some eternal implications to all of this. Now, there are some challenges with this parable, and the first appears quite quickly in what might appear to be the most obvious interpretation of it. At first reading, it can look as if Jesus is trying to teach us that the compassion that we show to the least of these will actually ensure us eternal life. There's a name for this. It's called works righteousness. And it is the misguided belief that somehow our good works keep us in a right relationship with God. Christians have struggled with this for a long time. We seem to easily and subtly drift into that thinking. And when we do, we completely have forgotten that there is actually nothing we could have done or could ever do to earn God's love. We are God's children. So he just loves us because of who we are, not because of what we've done. And because he loves us, Jesus died on the cross to in some way secure this life with God for us now and forever. It's not earned by any of our works or our piety or anything else. It is God's loving gift freely offered to us through Christ. It is all grace. So no matter how it might at first seem, Jesus cannot be suggesting in this parable that we need to do these works of compassion and mercy to ensure our spot in his kingdom. He can't be. So we must return to the parable again to try to hear what he is actually saying. And when we do that, we actually discover a second challenge. It's in this whole idea of there being some kind of sorting. As Foster reminded us last week, this is actually referred to as a parable of judgment. And the idea of judgment makes us nervous, doesn't it? Because it seems to open us to the possibility that we might be condemned in some way and maybe condemned to that eternal punishment that Jesus mentions in this parable. Well, I really hope somewhere in the back of your mind is a scripture verse floating around, some words that Paul shared with the Romans. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if that's true and we don't need to fear condemnation, then what is Jesus talking about when he talks about eternal punishment? I warned you there were some challenges with this parable, didn't I? I felt them too as I was working on this message. In fact, at one point, I actually got stuck, completely stuck. And so I did the only thing that I know how to do. I went back to the discipline I was taught by my beloved preaching professor, Dr. Barbara Mutch. And I worked my way through the series of steps she taught us to do when we're sitting with a text. In one of those steps, you make a list of the characters that are in the reading. And so I did that. There's Jesus, of course. First of all, he's the narrator, but he's also represented by the shepherd. And of course, he is the Son of Man who will sit on his glorious throne. Then there are the sheep. Those people who do those works of compassion. And of course, there's the goats, the people who don't. Now, quick question here, folks. Am I the only one who finds myself stopping at this point to do a quick internal check as Jesus describes those sheep and goats? When you hear this parable, do you find yourself thinking about which you might be? We tend to do this with parables. Am I the elder brother or the prodigal? 2 weeks ago, am I a wise maiden or a foolish one? And last week in the parable Foster was sharing with us, do I have 5 talents or 10 talents? And have I put those to good use? Or am I more like the person with 1 talent? And I've buried it in fear. We hear Jesus' parables and we try to figure out where we are in them. Are we the character Jesus is affirming, or are we the one he's calling out? Many of Jesus' parables actually seem designed to draw us into this, and I know I certainly went there with this one. But let's go back to that list of characters. So I had Jesus and the sheep and the goats, and I stopped to have another look. Had I missed anyone else? And that's when it happened. It was actually pretty cool. In one masterful stroke, the Holy Spirit shone a light on me and showed me this incredible lesson. I had missed someone. And for me, today, that was the point of this parable. Let me explain. There is another group in this story, in addition to Jesus and the sheep and the goats. And they are a group that are easy to miss. And I don't think that's accidental. Do you remember them? They're those vulnerable people who receive the acts of compassion, the hungry, the thirsty, the sick, the ones Jesus refers to as the least of these, or the ones that another beloved professor of mine used to call the least, last, lost, littlest, and nearly dead. There are those vulnerable people in our lives, in our community, and in our world, the people we are called to lovingly care for. People who apparently matter so much to Jesus that our loving them is indistinguishable from our loving him. Remember, he said, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." They're that important. And I missed them. I completely missed them. Why? Because I was too distracted and busy trying to figure out whether I'm a sheep or a goat. I was so worried about that sorting and where I might fall in all of it that I completely missed these precious people. I'm not proud of it, but I do find myself wondering, am I the only one? Friends, Jesus is showing us that his sheep will care for the least of these. But doing that isn't what makes us his sheep. It's simply the evidence that we are. We know his voice. He shared his heart with us. We know how very much he wants wholeness and life for everyone, especially for those for whom this life is often the hardest. So as his sheep, we notice the ones he notices, and our hearts are moved to the point of action. Not because we should, not because we're busy trying to figure out whether we're a sheep or a goat, simply because we're his. And because he cares, we care. Friends, in this whole sermon series, we have been ruminating on what it means that as God's people who follow Jesus, we are a blessed and blessing people. I think this parable is a brilliant lesson for us to end on, because it's rooted in the fact that we have been blessed beyond belief. We are the recipients of God's unconditional, unending, unstoppable love and grace. This parable reminds us that if we can relax and dare to believe and to trust in that, then a miracle happens. We find ourselves living out of that grace and that love and becoming a blessing to others, not because we should, but because it's just part of who and how we are in this wonderful life with God that we have found in Christ. Amen.
Good morning. A few days ago, I came across a prayer written by Reverend Richard Bott, who is the moderator of the United Church of Canada. It really touched my heart, and I would like to share it with you before I pray my own prayer. It's called A Prayer for Putting on a Face Mask. Creator God, as I prepare to go into the world, help me to see the sacramental nature of wearing this cloth. Let it be a tangible and visible way of living love for my neighbors as I love myself. Christ Jesus, since my lips will be covered by the mask, uncover my heart, that people would see my smile in the crinkles around my eyes. Since my voice may be muffled, help me to speak clearly, not only with my words, but with my actions. Holy Spirit, as the elastic touches my ears, remind me to listen carefully and caringly to all those I meet. May this simple piece of cloth be shield and banner, and may each breath that it holds be filled with your love. In your name and in that love, I pray. Amen. And now my words. Triune God, Father God above us, Jesus, God beside us, Holy Spirit, God within us, it is to you that we pray this morning. We consider the words of 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. Fan into flame the gift of God, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. God, we come to you today in the midst of what feels like a tsunami of hurt. All around us is concern, disappointment, loneliness, canceled plans, anxiety, sickness, and even death. Give us the strength to lay every one of our burdens down at the foot of the cross. And with your love, grace, and power, please turn those ashes into beauty. Renew in us the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. God, we need you. Please keep safe the myriad of people working throughout this pandemic to keep us all safe, fed, educated, and healthy in body, mind, and soul. We are so grateful. God, we need you. Please make yourself known to those who are suffering and grieving. Let them feel the peace that passes all understanding. God, we need you. Let us hear the encouragement of the Holy Spirit to hold us up, to direct us to those that need our help and love, and to feel joy. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We love you. We thank you. We worship you. And thank you, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you again for your gifts that help the work of this church to continue. Let's pray the offertory prayer together. Generous God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have shown us what it means to love, and you call us to follow your example, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Continue to write your law of love on our hearts. Give us an unwavering passion for justice and a tenacious faith that will not rest until the hungry are fed and the oppressed find relief and the outsider finds a welcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, as we get ready to enter Advent in this coming week, I had expected to be announcing to you some projects we have been working on over these last month and a half, projects around ways for us to celebrate Advent and Christmas together this year. Unfortunately, the announcements this week from our provincial health officer have meant that we've needed to put those projects on hold. They were not projects we could do and be in good conscience in accordance with minimizing people's contacts with others. And so we've shelved them and we're going to go back to the drawing board. And we are going to creatively try to come up with some new ways that we can all meaningfully engage in Advent and Christmas together in ways that are appropriate and doable given our circumstances right now. And so we would really appreciate your prayers as we do that work together this week. Would you pray for us to be creative and to be able to come up with life-giving, meaningful ways for us to connect in this season? And in the meantime, I want to encourage you all to do what we're being asked to do, to love our neighbors, and to help to curb the spread of this virus in our community and in our province. So friends, stay well and stay close.
Friends, it's not enough to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord and our King. Our mission in life is to actually make his kingdom a reality among us and to bring it to those around us in our words and our deeds. The way to do this is to live as he lived, for others, in love and service. So go now in peace and love to serve the Lord and to give shape to his kingdom. And may the Almighty God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you as you go. Amen.